On today's show, Jalen Green is named to the all-rookie first team and gets a response from one of his biggest fans, Bill Simmons, after the fact. And we take a look at Rafael Stone and his post-NBA draft lottery media availability and share some thoughts from that coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline has you covered the season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Now, for today's episode, we're going to get into Rafael Stone's post-draft lottery media availability. We're going to run that back. I'll share some thoughts after we run through the footage of his immediate impressions of what the third overall pick means for the Houston Rockets moving forward. Also, the best news in the land, Jalen Green makes it to the all-rookie first team. He joins Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes, and Franz Wagner on the all-rookie first team. The first team that we thought it should be. No Herb Jones in sight. And it could not have ended better for Jalen Green. This was such an exciting, you know, way to cap off his rookie year, an accolade that he absolutely earned, deserved. The only rookie to drop a 40 piece, the only rookie to score multiple 30 point games going what, 6-7 of them, like, you know, all of the right, all the stats, all the numbers that we've hashed over, you know, at the end of the season, you know, campaigning for why Jalen Green should be named to the all rookie first team. And the best part in all of this, and I'm going to wrap this up very quickly so that we can get to Rafael Stone, his media availability, and then talk about it in segment three. But the best part in all of this was after it was announced that Jalen Green made it onto the all-rookie first team, he took to Twitter to give a shout out to one of his biggest fans, saying, shout out to Bill Simmons. Oh, it's over here on my screen. I can't point the right direction. Shout out to our YouTube viewers who are seeing me point like every which way because I don't know what I'm doing. Jalen Green went on Twitter and said, shout out to Bill Simmons, my dog for real. On Twitter after being named to the all-rookie first team, a level of petty that we should all aspire to be in our day-to-day lives. And Bill Simmons took the chance to reply to one of his idols, saying, congrats, I'm still rooting for you. Don't let the fake news aggregators ruin it for us. I just like 2022 Herb Jones more for the first team, which was the whole point of the joke. Excited to see what you have in store for your second year. Good luck. At this point, I didn't think that I could lose more respect for Bill Simmons. Just own it, man. Like, you made the joke. Don't, like, heel turn now. Don't, you know, try to walk it back and try to be friendly with him. No. You said that. You said F Jalen Green. Own up to it, man. So shout out to Jalen Green. Shout out to, you know, Jalen Green's number one fan, Bill Simmons, who is, you know, I'm sure in absolute shambles that Herb Jones did not make it to the all-rookie first team. It was a well-deserved award for Jalen Green, and I'm sure it's going to be the first of many awards throughout his NBA career. But with that, let's get to General Manager Rafael Stone's media availability right after the NBA draft lottery. We're going to run that back here in segment one and segment two. And then in segment three, we'll talk about it. I'll highlight some of the points that I think stand out about what he had to say. And, you know, if there's any inclination into what direction the Rockets may be going with this third overall pick based on what we heard from Rafael Stone. So with that, let's get to Rafael Stone.
Hey, Rafael, how are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm good, man. How are you?
Fine. Just some thoughts about getting the third pick and how the strategy might be different from going 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5, how that all affects when you're at number 3.
I don't think it's terribly different. Obviously, I think the difference is really how other teams interact with us, maybe. I think the process in terms of drafting the pick will be identical if we have two or one, just in terms of, you know, we'll go through all the same work, or four or five for that matter. And then I do think as it relates maybe to potentially change, trading it, that might change how teams perceive it. It might not, depending upon who a team's target is. So I think that's the answer.
Greg Bailey.
Ravel, congratulations on another pick. I know you guys had to go into the night understanding you were to leave this process with a really good player, but third in a draft with a lot of talent at the top, how good do you feel about being in that third position and adding yet another elite type talent to the young core that you already have?
Yeah, we feel really good. We're really excited. I definitely think whether by picking third or by, trade or whatever we end up doing, I think we're going to be a materially more talented team this coming season than we were this last one. And that's exciting. So we're really happy.
Ali Khan Bajani.
Excuse me. Even after taking four rookies last year, how do you debate about picking the best player available at three versus best fit?
I think you always have to go best player available. Fundamentally, it's our job to win championships. And so I think when you're picking this high in the draft, I think you want to see if you can get somebody who can be, you know, really a cornerstone of your franchise. And so I think fit is going to necessarily be secondary.
Jason Bristol.
Rafael, do you go into this type of situation, a draft lottery, with like a dividing line in your mind that, okay, I feel really good if we're at this number compared to, I mean, I knew you're going to get in the top five, but did you feel like there was a dividing number or dividing line where you really wanted to be at?
No. I mean, last year there was, but I think this year, no, I think this year we felt like we were going to be in a position to bring in a talented basketball player. And, the macro strategy, I think, remains the same. The micro probably changes a little bit. But honestly, we've been doing our work on an individual basis of getting prepared for the draft. But we haven't spent real time on strategy intentionally. So I think, you know, the pick will inform our strategy, but I'm excited. I think we'll end up in a good spot.
Brian Bearfield.
Rafael, when you have a situation like this where you are selecting third overall, how hard is it to block out other general managers who, you know, may be trying to get that pick and block it out so you can concentrate on who you want to select?
Well, I'm definitely not going to block them out. If they want to talk, I'm always available to talk. So, yeah, no, I mean, I don't listen to other people. I don't listen to other general. They don't tell me who to pick. So I've not had another general manager call me and tell me who to pick. But if it's the case that they are interested in doing something, you know, we're always available to listen. And if there's something that makes sense for both teams, something will get done.
And coming up, we continue running the footage of general manager Rafael Stone's media availability right after the Rockets learned they would be picking third overall in this year's NBA draft. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar, because when it comes to protein bars, you got to check out Built Bar. They're the number one protein bar on the market, and for very good reason. Every single bar is coated in 100% delicious chocolate. They're not gritty or chalky like other protein bars are out there. They've got incredible flavors to choose from. You got strawberry, raspberry, salted caramel, cookies and cream, coconut brownie chunk. You really can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. Every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little bit of weight. You can check them out. Just go to built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best-tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Wherever you get and listen to this podcast. Now, I want to drop in a quick couple shout outs here to a couple of very loyal Locked On Rockets listeners. Shout out to my guy Drew, and shout out to Ava, a couple people who reached out to me recently, shared some very kind words, big time fans of the show. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you if you listen to the show. Whether you listen once a month or whether you listen every single day, I do appreciate you for checking out the show. It means the world to me. And whenever people reach out and share their words of affirmation and they're just like, hey, you're doing a great job, you're killing it, whatever, it does mean a lot. So shout out Drew, shout out Ava. I appreciate you guys. Let's continue on with Rafael Stone's media availability, and then we'll wrap it up in segment three.
Saman Ali.
Rafael, you talked about how you want at this point in the draft, you're looking for someone who could potentially be a franchise cornerstone type of talent for you guys. When you look at this specific draft, how many of those players do you see? And I apologize, I missed the earlier part of the press conference. You talked about potentially moving this pick. How open are you to moving the pick, and how seriously are you going to take those discussions going into July?
No, we're definitely open to it. That's kind of an important part of my personal philosophy, is that you always want to be open to those things, because you never know what's going to be available, and you never want to foreclose those types of opportunities. I do think that there's going to be an exceptionally talented player. When I said cornerstone, I wasn't necessarily talking about this draft per se. I was just talking more about when you're picking high in the draft, and the fit versus, I guess, potential or fit versus talent argument. But I do think there's really talented players in this draft. There are super talented players in every draft, and it's just going to be up to us to try and weed through. And if we do pick the, end up using the pick to find the very best guy we can get.
Jackson Gatlin.
Hey, Rafael, congrats on pick number three. I know you just touched on this a moment ago, talking about kind of best player available fit and whatnot. But when you look at this current Rockets roster, are there any guys on this roster that you maybe take into account a little bit further as to how they might pair with some of these top prospects?
I think, there are certainly players on this roster that we feel really, really good about and that we're really excited about and that we think, can be with us for a long time. We can win a lot of games with and hopefully even win a championship with. But having said that, kind of one of my fundamental beliefs is that great players can play with great players. So again, I think the real answer is no, but not because we don't have exceptionally talented basketball players who I'm really excited about. It's more just people can adjust to one another. And especially like when you're talking about players, of the ages, most of our guys are, they all are getting better on a daily basis and need to get better on a daily basis. And so if somebody's got an exceptional strength and somebody else has a weakness, you can hedge one another and do other things. So, I do think we're in a position where we can just try and figure out who the most talented player is.
Adam Wexler.
Rafael, obviously the process as they're going through the envelope unveiling is pretty quick, but are you having any emotions as the Kings move up? Are you keeping track of where things stand as they get through 9, 6, 5, 4 and on down to your pick?
Yeah. I mean, it's just math. So it's hard for me not to do the math. And I think the Kings were the only team that moved up. So, so it was just like, hoping that, it's always better to pick higher than lower. So, I definitely was keeping track, but I think that's the answer.
Michael Shapiro.
Hi, Rafael. With last year's pick, Jalen Green, it was certainly, an investment in a player's ceiling, so to speak. Do you still kind of view this as a situation where, you're going to take a player with the highest ceiling, or are you moving toward rebuild where, perhaps it's a 4 or what is their worst case or middle case scenario situation?
I understood the ceiling part, but I didn't understand the second part of your question.
Just how much is ceiling one of your top priorities, I guess, is the most simple way to put it.
I mean, in the abstract, it's the single most important one, but but in reality, like, you, no one would pick somebody who has a ceiling at 99 and a floor at 1 if they could pick a guy who had a ceiling at 98 and a floor at 97. Sure. So, it's obviously important, but it's not the only determining factor. I generally do think that, you know, having our game rewards size and athleticism. And so if you can find, you know, hyper athletic people who are really big and are also good at the game, they're going to have an advantage over somebody who's maybe a little less athletic and a little less, less big, but also good at the game. I don't know. I didn't do a good job answering your question, but I do think, yeah, ceiling is very important.
No, you're great. Appreciate it.
Adam Spolin.
8 on the shot clock.
Hey, Rafael. Do you start to look at positional, or not positional diversity, but like a diversity just with skill set, with where you guys are? I know you've always said that you're not really worried about position, but do you try to avoid like skill set redundancy?
I don't think so. No, I mean, if anything, you try and avoid the opposite, which is like, you know, in the NBA, you need to be able to space the floor. You need people who can shoot. So it's maybe redundancy of people whose weaknesses are the same. But I think having a lot of people who are highly skilled, I think actually, I think it actually can really help you and can have some multiplier effects sometimes.
Ben DeBose.
Rafael, what's the balance the next few weeks between what you see on tape from this past season with these guys versus what you guys hopefully see in the workouts you complete with them?
Oh, I mean, it's 99% tape, 1% workout. Mm. You know, you just have to be, you know, you have to be very, very careful with making any judgments over on, you know, based on a single day.
We'll take 3 more. Randy McAvoy.
Hey, Rafael, just to follow up to that last question a little bit, I was going to ask you, how do you and your staff approach these next 30 days when it comes to evaluation? What you already know about these guys, is most of the legwork done already? And how do you use this next month to prepare to make the decision?
Yeah, for us as a group, I think individually, we've all done our work already. And not all of it, but we're well versed, probably all of us are, on each of the individual players. What we haven't done, and what we're going to really use this next period of time to do, is to really challenge one another's assumptions and ask questions that maybe, maybe Eli will raise a concern about a player that I hadn't thought of, and really drill down in the hopes that we come to the best decision about kind of people's future looking prospects as we can.
Kelly Eco.
Hey, Rafael, is there almost some kind of a relief because now picking 3, you can really focus on the best player available and have to do all the legwork to hone in on that decision?
I do think there's a sense of relief just in that, like, it is this kind of weird thing where you're doing work and you don't know what you're dealing with. And so there is a sense of relief. Okay, now we know we're picking 3. Now everything is done. Let's finish preparing and really kind of finish the process. And so it is kind of a step done type of relief. That's what I would, that's how I would explain it.
And last question, Jonathan Fagan.
Rafael, to whatever degree you were happy to have heard your name at number 3, however happy you are with that, how much of that was informed with the work you have done to this point and your feelings about the players, one of which you know will be available at 3?
Yeah, I think if we end up picking, we will have the ability to pick a really, really talented basketball player at 3. I've definitely done enough work so that I think that is the case. And, you know, it's on us to pick the right player, and it's on us to develop the player. It's on the player who ultimately comes to, again, assuming we even pick it.
So you didn't do anything on camera, did you? Fist bump inside in your own thoughts, or did you cheer at all to yourself?
No, I mean, it's, you know, at least with this particular draft, I think it just is. And so, like I said, there's a sense of relief of being able, okay, this is the spot we're picking in. Now let's build a plan. Let's go forward. Let's do all the work. Let's have all the conversations. But no, I was definitely not like disappointed and definitely not celebrating. I think we're very, you know, I think we have a plan that we firmly believe in, and we think that, you know, we're on track. I thought that yesterday. I think that now.
And that's going to do it for General Manager Rafael Stone, his immediate post NBA draft lottery thoughts, his reaction to it, you know, being interrogated by the Rockets media, myself included. With that, coming up, we'll talk about some, you know, general thoughts from what he had to say, all of that. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online, because our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, right now at BetOnline, you can go place a bet to try and see who will go number one overall in this year's NBA draft, which, hey, the Rockets didn't get the number one overall pick, but they're still getting one of the top three prospects. You got to be excited about what's going on here in Houston. Jabari Smith Jr. right now, minus 150 to go number one overall in this year's NBA draft. Chet Holmgren at a plus 195. And then Paolo Banchero bringing up the rear at plus 500. 100 to go number one overall in this year's NBA draft. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And a final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, make sure you go check out the Locked On NBA podcast, from the very first jump of the play-in tournament all the way to the final possession of the NBA Finals. Our Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 NBA teams. I host the Monday show, three interviews from around the league, the three biggest stories to start your NBA week off right. It's always a ton of fun. Be sure to check it out wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And speaking of YouTube, if you made it this far into the show, do me a favor, go onto the YouTube, share your thoughts about General Manager Rafael Stone's commentary, what you think, you know, any information that you've kind of taken away from what he had to share after the NBA draft lottery. The first thing that I will say, and I feel like I say this, every single time that I run back any tape on Rafael Stone on this very show, but the man is a lawyer through and through. Like, the way that he talks, the way that he handles himself, he refuses to paint himself into a corner. Like, he threw out, I should have done like a tracker. I should have done like a little, like, you know, visual aid tracker for how many times Rafael Stone suggested that they might not even make the pick at selection number three. They might trade it, or they might do this, or they might do that. It's just, it's very entertaining, honestly, at this point, because to me, the number three overall, or landing in the top three and having the third overall pick, the Rockets are going to make the pick, right? We saw this exact same language last year when we found out the Rockets were going to be the second overall selection. It was a lot of, oh, well, we might trade the pick. We might do this, that. We might, you know, we don't know if we're going to make the pick. They're going to make the pick somewhere in the top three. They're not going to trade down, and they're not going to trade it for an established player. They're going to take one of the top three prospects. The only way that they might trade the pick is if they get an opportunity to trade up, because they might have somebody higher on their board than who they think is going to ultimately fall down to pick number three. So I'm just going to squash that right now. It's not happening. Sorry, Rafael. I'm sorry to rain on your parade. They're not trading the pick. With that, though, I think, you know, he had some insight into just, you know, the arguments of best player available versus fit. And I think you are starting to get a picture of Rafael Stone's philosophy towards team building. And that's very much that great players can make it work with one another, that great players, you don't need to worry about the fit. That they will find success with one another, which sounds, you know, eerily similar to, and not too dissimilar from, the same mentality that we had from Daryl Morey, at least in regards to oftentimes pursuing stars, right? Where Daryl Morey was just like, look, great players are going to find a way to make it work. You just put them on the court, you get them together, they're going to figure it out. And unfortunately for Daryl Morey, during his last reign of terror in Houston, the two great players that he had under his stewardship were James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and they did not make it work, unfortunately. Now, there were some stretches where it looked like maybe that duo could make it work, and they were putting out numbers, and it maybe felt like the Rockets had found something right before the NBA shut down in that fated 2020 COVID-ridden year that wound up becoming the bubble season. But to say all of that, that I do genuinely think, I genuinely subscribe to the notion that great players can and will figure it out. And I do think there's something to be said for a follow-up point of Rafael's when he was kind of answering the question that I asked about if there's any players that when you're looking at this current crop of Rockets players that you may be taking into account a bit more as far as the decision-making process when you look at some of the top prospects in this year's NBA draft. And I think he brought up a great point that at the age that some of these players are at, it's not like pairing veterans together, right? It's not like you're the Boston Celtics, and maybe this is a terrible example because it actually did work out really well for the Celtics, but you know, the Celtics made a big risky play, right? Back in 08 and making the play to trade for Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett and put, you know, the pair them up with Paul Pierce and establish the big three and do all that. Those were established veterans who had their pros and cons. They had their strengths and weaknesses already established. And they worked, they coalesced and they made it happen. But when you've got this crop of young guys, right, even if there are certain deficiencies in their games, I think there's maybe a level of, you know, hopefulness that you can iron out some of those deficiencies early on in their career and that maybe they don't grow to become these, like, you know, gigantic red flags in somebody's game where you're like, oh, that guy doesn't have a handle, or oh, that guy can't shoot threes, or oh, this guy's free throw percentage is in the tank, right? Like, or oh, this guy can't play defense. Like, all these different red flags that we look at when we're evaluating prospects, when we're looking at the current Rockets team, trying to figure out what's the best way to build a complementary roster with guys that can fit and coalesce together. And the Rockets are just too early on for that. Like, I get the idea of wanting to have complementary pieces. I do. And that there's a big reason why I was, you know, and still am very high on Jabari Smith, because I think his skill set translates to any of the 30 teams in the NBA right now. Like, shooting, defense, and rebounding will always be a necessity for any team that wants to win a championship. That said, you take the best, you think you take whoever the best guy on the board is. You take whoever the best guy you think is going to be the best player out of whoever is available when the Rockets are on the board at number three. And so for the Rockets, you know, maybe again, there's a bit of, you know, optimism that even if there's a guy on the board that they think is the best guy, maybe he doesn't necessarily quite fit as well alongside some of the current guys. It's okay, because they have a chance to mold this player from the ground up, right? Yes, these players are already established to a certain extent. They've all done, you know, a year of college or a year in the G League. Like, they've got some, you know, semi-professional experience, and they've, you know, but they also have a lot of room to grow, right? You're drafting a prospect. I think Rafael Stone had a beautiful quote at the end of his exit interview this season where he says, and he said this multiple times, I think, he goes, you don't draft anybody to be a rookie, right? You don't draft anybody to be like who they are in their rookie or even their sophomore year, or even 3 or 4 years in. You draft them for what you think they can be further down the line, right? As they're hitting their prime, as they're becoming who they're going to be for the rest of their NBA careers, as they mold their games, as they adapt. And as they, you know, probably around, I don't know, maybe year 4 or 5 in the league is where you start kind of getting more of a glimpse of like, yeah, this player is going to be who they are for the rest of their time. Unless you've got like a, you know, generational talent, like somebody like LeBron, who continued to add and evolve his game just, you know, every single year, add something new to his bag. James Harden, who seemed to add something new to his repertoire every single offseason. The generational greats seem to get better every single year and come back new and improved. But general NBA players don't make those leaps every single offseason. That's not the norm. Eventually, you get to a point where you plateau and you're like, all right, this is what this player is going to be. There is no more untapped potential there. So just some general thoughts there. And I will say he had one other really interesting quote that I want to run back here, where Rafael Stone, he said, our game rewards size and athleticism. If you can find a hyper-athletic player who's really big and also good at the game, they're going to have an advantage over someone who is less athletic and less big, but also good at the game. And I think this goes hand in hand with why we saw Jalen Green be the pick for Rafael Stone for the Rockets last season. Is Jalen Green, best athlete in the draft, right? Most freakishly talented athlete that we've seen in a long time. Highly touted, you know, shooting guard prospect, can jump out of the gym, but also has the skills to back it up and the size at his position to back it up. I say size meaning height, like he's still got to, you know, fill out his body, but there's a reasonable belief that Jalen Green will be able to add some mass to his frame over time at the NBA level. Like, I'm not super concerned about that. pardon me. So with that, I think that kind of points towards, you know, you look at where the Rockets are at and you look at the prospects at the top of this draft. And I think that maybe, like, I don't want to say it eliminates Jabari, but I think it kind of hints towards Chet and Paolo, because they are the guys who are a bit more well-rounded and talented in the perspective of, like, they're really good at the game in the fact that they're so diverse in their respective offensive skill sets, right? They can pass, they can put the ball on the floor, they can create, you can run the offense through them, they can be connective tissue pieces. Jabari doesn't quite have that in his bag. Like, Jabari's not somebody you give the ball to and say, go generate me some offense, right? Like, he's not going to be somebody who's generating shots for other players, at least not immediately, not at a high level right away. And I just thought it was an interesting quote. And I think, again, it gives a glimpse into what Rafael Stone's philosophy is for, you know, talent evaluation, how he's looking at certain players, and what he's looking to get out of one of these top prospects is, again, an athlete, a hyper athlete, somebody who, you know, breaks all the measurables and then is also a really talented basketball player. And maybe that means it's pointing towards Paolo Banchero, who is a superb athlete at 6'10", about what, 240, 250. Like, he's got the size, he's got the strength, he's got the speed. Like, he is the total package at 6'10 and has a lot of basketball skill on top of it. So maybe that's the way the Rockets are leaning with their number three overall pick. I don't know yet. A lot of speculation on my behalf. I'm sure we'll learn more in the coming days and weeks leading up to the NBA draft. But I will say that, you know, I'm incredibly optimistic about what the Rockets are going to be able to accomplish, just because, again, they got a top three pick. It means they're getting one of the top three prospects. This is a great sign for this Houston Rockets team, because it means that you started off the rebuild strong with a top prospect in Jalen Green. You're going to get another top prospect in one of these three, in Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, or Jabari Smith. That is a huge get, a huge way to, like, leapfrog here at the start of the rebuild for this Houston Rockets organization. And this team is going to be really talented next year. Like, I think the we saw a lot of talent on this past year's team for sure. We didn't quite see it coalesce. They're going to have even more talent this next year with whoever they take at number three, or trading up possibly, whoever they take at pick number 17, and then giving an entire offseason for this current young team to grow and develop and refine their games, which we already know based on their offseason workout reporting that the Rockets are already in Houston working out together, nine or 10 of the current guys working out together, trying to get better, trying to refine their craft ahead of next season, even though this current season hasn't even ended yet. An incredible sign. Very optimistic about the Rockets' chances to possibly take that leap next year, right? Like, actually be a somewhat more relevant team, start pushing for the play-in tournament. It's up to Steven Silas and his coaching staff to do the right things to put guys in the positions to succeed next year. Not the end of the world if they don't. If it is another losing season, is, you know, fingers crossed, Victor Wembanyama at the end of the tunnel. Like, that could be, you know, a great prize to add to this Rockets team. And hey, they didn't get number three. They didn't get number one overall this year. Maybe it's because they're vying for number one overall next year. I don't know. I'm gonna end on that note. The Rockets are in a really, really great spot. And I'm in a great spot. I'm finally back to some, like, semblance of normalcy. If you made it to the tail end of the episode, I'm sure you've noticed that my energy has been lacking as of late. We've had, you know, smooth jazz Jackson for a lot of these episodes. I'm also going to try to balance the two, because I know that I can probably be a little bit over the top at times, a little bit over enthused about things. But that said, I'm feeling much, much better. Had a follow-up appointment with my doctor. I'm chilling now. I'm not 100%. I still can't hear out of this ear. I've got tinnitus. This is awful. This is like a constant, just, this is the worst thing ever. But I don't feel like crap anymore, which is awesome because I felt like death for a few days there. With that, that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, I so sincerely appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, if you're watching the show and you haven't subscribed yet, what are you doing? Go hit the subscribe button. Smash the subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, leave a comment. The comments help tremendously. As far as the YouTube algorithm is concerned, it's like if you drop a comment, it like helps serve up the video to other people who don't know I exist. Like, I know that there's like a very small sect of like Rockets fans that are like, yeah, Jackson Gatlin, he's a Locked On Rockets guy. There's like a gigantic sea of the entire world who has no idea what Locked On Rockets is. And like, there's Rockets fans all over the world. We got to get this show to all of them. And you can help do that by commenting on the YouTube page. That's the way you can help me out. I sincerely appreciate it. And I do read all the comments. So let me know what you think about Rafael Stone and his thoughts on receiving the third overall pick. Let me know what you think about Jalen Green making the all-rookie first team and his little, you know, interaction, or at least Bill Simmons trying to heel turn and, you know, be apologetic for his commentary towards Jalen Green. Let me know what you think about all of that and more in the comments on the YouTube page. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.